Good morning. 00 hours. Mostly cloudy. 29 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 28 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 27 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 27 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Cloudy. 27 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 27 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 26 degrees. Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 27 degrees.
Oh man, I need to quit this shit. Morning. Good morning. And this suiting up and heading in every day for the birds.
My arms are hurting from all the flapping. Good morning, WRCY.
Looks like the gang's all here. Oh, that's right. Man, I'll tell you what. I did another road trip. Didn't go to the swap. I was going to, but I had to divert and do a road trip out to Kalamazoo. What else did I do? Oh, I stopped at Zingerman's. Ever hear of Zingerman's Deli in Ann Arbor? I went there and had a corned beef sandwich. So that was the highlights of my weekend. Anthony, and then I guess Anthony Donald Dakota.
Good morning, everyone. I have heard of Zingerman's, but not been there. But yeah, I've heard it's very good. Over to you, Donald.
I, too, also heard of Zingerman's. I've been to Ann Arbor numerous times. Never set foot in the place. And I came back from Sebring. 73-degree weather, and the first part, and 83 on Saturday. And I got in at about 9:22 yesterday morning.
I don't know that I've heard of Zingerman's, but man, I could go for a corned beef sandwich. Yeah, well, Donald, welcome back. Got to hear how Sebring went. And, yeah, Zingerman's is, I think, first time I'd ever been there. Kind of a bucket list thing. Got to go to Zingerman's sometime. And it is a event. like going to Cedar Point. So that place is so busy and so popular. You know, there's aisles and take numbers and stand in this line if you want to order a sandwich and stand in that line, you know. And, I mean, they got it down pretty well. It's not bad, but it's almost like a circus, right? You know, like a Cedar Point ride or something when you first get there. You must be just called to eat a sandwich. But very expensive. One corned beef sandwich and some potato salad was over $30. So the place is expensive. I think the experience was kind of cool, but I don't know that it's worth it. And I think what we have there is something that was real, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, you know, young U of M, you know, students would go there. It's right down there in the heart of the campus, and, you know, it got famous, and they graduated to become influential, and that they would pilgrimage back, and, oh, we got to go to Zingerman's, and then word of mouth, oh, my God, Zingerman's, yeah, when I was going to school. And I think just, you know, over the course of the next 20, 30 years, it became a carnival. So anyhow, that's my review. The sandwich was pretty good. If I was picking one, I'd go right to Jimmy B's. I'd go there, quite honestly. So there's my assessment. Anthony?
$30 for lunch is no joke, man. That is a bit pricey, and I think you're probably right in how it came to be. It became a thing of lore, and now everybody has to go there. They can charge $30 for a sandwich and some potato salad.
Yeah, my memories of it is I knew it was there. In the 80s, there was a nightclub known as the Nectarine Ballroom, and every night you go in there, you had a different clientele and crowd in there. So that's my highlights of Ann Arbor back in the 80s for me. Sebring was okay. It's a bit of a dump in the sense of its age. It's an old World War II airfield and practice facility. The track is about as old. It's got a character of its own. But the racing there is just absolutely phenomenal. And we've had some accidents, a couple of hard ones, but everybody walks away, and that's the most important thing. Nobody got hurt seriously. Maybe just bruised egos, the stupid mistakes that they make. But, yeah, it was just way different than the 24 hours of Daytona. I mean, Daytona's a up-to-date facility, and then you take something that was built in the 40s for World War II, and you really don't change anything on it. I mean, pretty much the original pavement's still there, and you can imagine how bumpy and how treacherous it is on driving. So, yep, that's about it there for me. And I've only had about maybe 6 hours of sleep since I got up Saturday morning. So, but I got laundry and things like that I got to do today, so I won't be doing any sleeping until tonight. That's about it on my end.
Sean, thanks for saving me a trip to Ann Arbor, because Jimmy D's is it has my heart forever. Those are such good sandwiches. And Donna, when it gets back to you, where is Sebring at?
Of runways on it. We don't fly into it. We fly into Fort Myers and take a shuttle bus to the track and to the hotel and everything else. You just can't, like Daytona. Daytona is all inclusive, complete with an airport. It can handle Air Force One, the president's plane. But it's in the middle of nowhere. Kind of like how Watkins Glen, New York, which will be a race I'll be at in New York.
John, you and Donald doubled, but Donald, I think we caught everything that you were saying, that the track was in Florida and in the middle of nowhere. And Sean, I don't know if it was because you guys were doubling, but you sounded like you were in a tunnel. So just FYI. I'll throw it over to Dakota, and then we'll get going on the normal roundabout here.
My bad, guys. All right, thanks, Donald. I was just curious where that was at. And Sean, I kind of heard you. You said Zingers was a bucket list. So if I'm ever out that way, I'll pop in there. No, I just said we'll have Donald comment on that when it comes back around, and then just finished on the Zingerman things with, you know, I'd still say if you don't mind spending, I mean, drop the potato salad, which was five something, and you probably get in there for in the 20s. So, you know, if you're ready for a $20 sandwich, and it's pretty good, and you want to go see it, I'd say do it. But I wouldn't necessarily bucket list it. So that's all I really said there. And well, Sebring is for production cars, right? So I think maybe that's part of the reason they want a little bit less groomed track. I don't know. I may misunderstand what the whole point is. You know, Indy is for Indy cars, right? And that's a whole different kettle of fish. But I think Sebring's for production cars. Or are they modified? I don't know. Anyhow, you can touch on that when it comes back round. So, I've heard of Sebring. But I thought that's where the dealers all, or the manufacturers take their Ford Fiestas. Anyhow, Anthony?
I have no idea. We'll let Donald explain it and keep it going. Donald, over to you.
Well, Sebring is one of the tracks that are built for endurance purposes. Some of the famous races have been held there. Some of the famous battles have been there. The movie Ford versus Ferrari was, part of it was here in Sebring, and then, of course, where they run the 24 Hours Le Mans in France. And Sean was right, they do production cars as well as exotic, you know, rocket ship prototype looking things that are hybrid power now. There was a new car there this year from Europe called the Valkyrie from Allison Aston Martin, and that thing was like nothing else we've ever seen before or heard before. It had a unique engine sound. But compared to tracks, like you say, like at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, that's built for speed. Daytona's built for NASCAR. Sebring's built for, or actually hasn't been really totally rebuilt. Dump is a harsh word, I know, but you go there after you've been to some pristine tracks, and even the Detroit Grand Prix course looks better than Sebring does. But, Sebring and endurance racing does have your sports cars, Mustangs, Lamborghinis, Honda Acuras. You know, street production cars, Corvettes are in there, and they all race right alongside. To wrap up endurance racing, it's five classes of racing, five races going on at once, and for a period of time, anywhere from 90 minutes to 24 hours on races. John?
Well, I believe Dakota's next, but maybe he's washing his car, washing the car, or on the phone. Who knows? Anywho, we'll catch him around next time. Yeah, okay. I know that the you know, that would interest me more than NASCAR or Indy or any of that stuff. You know, I kind of like the fact that they're bringing like regular stuff down there or tuned. But regular stuff down there, and the kind of stuff that we might buy, maybe. I mean, I know they're bringing their best, right? But anyhow, that's interesting to me. Anywho, very cool. Fun to get out there and get away. Anyhow, I got to get something to drink here this morning, and I'm not sure I want coffee, Anthony.
Got my coffee already, but Sean, when it comes back around to you,
what did you make the trek across the state for? Are you buying more audio equipment?
Is it my turn?
Yeah, Donald, it's you.
Is Dakota back? I am. I apologize. I was throwing stuff in the dumpster at work, but I am here, so I got to run in. I got some things that are already coming in that need to be handled, so I'm going to jump out. Today is an early day, so maybe I'll catch you guys on my way home. If not, everyone have a good day. At 8 DBF, I am clear.
All right, Dakota. Have fun. We'll catch you on the drive home or tomorrow morning. And Anthony, yes, I went back to the same place I was at the weekend before, cleaned them out.
Oh, well, I hope you got some good deals. Isn't that the case, though? You probably got an amplifier. You probably got that and went, oh, man, all that other stuff was good. I could use that.
Sean's going to end up with a high-fidelity surround sound system in his ham shack when it's all said and done. He's going to have the best of both worlds. That's how I can see it happening. And Dakota, if you guys, Dakota's fire and Silas, you're going to say have a nice thing, Patrick's Day. And, yeah, corned beef today, that would be the ultimate. Jimmy D's is great, but when I was growing up, there was a place in East Point called O'Hara's on 10 Mile near Hayes, and it was the owner, O'Hara's, the father and the son both drove for Petiprin, the Budweiser distributor there off of North Avenue and Hall Road, and George, the son, lived three doors from my parents' house in St. Clair Shores, and he would always park his beer truck in front of his house and stuff like that when he comes home for lunch. But when I turned 18 in 1974, which was a few weeks ago, he pulled up in front of my house, opened up the side of the truck, and he says, take two 12-packs out of whatever you want. So I grabbed a Budweiser and I grabbed a Michelob for my 18th birthday, because that's when the laws had changed. So I got some nice gifts, and some of my collection from Petiprin stuff, or Budweiser stuff back in the day, started that way. But O'Hara's, 10 Mile, Hayes, and East Point, unfortunately it's gone now. I don't even know if George is probably alive, but he's down in Florida, and I know one of his sons is working somewhere in the Troy Motor Mall. That's it for me. Sean, back to you.
Leave a little room in there in case anybody else wants to join in. Yeah, I remember O'Hara's. That place was great. Their sandwich was big and hearty like Jimmy D's, a little different. They used a little different bread, but good stuff, no doubt. And I miss that place, too. There's a little dump restaurant right across Rosebeck from my place, and he does a St. Patrick's thing every year. The food is excellent. I said it's a little dump. It really is, but he cooks great. He does some great stuff in there. Even his regular menu is interesting. And he does usually an Irish-based theme, corned beef, cabbage, you know, all that stuff, in and around St. Patrick's Day. So I'm hoping that he's doing that today. That would be great. I brought the other half of my Zingerman sandwich just in case not. But that would be cool. And, no 5.1 or ham shack or anything. This room's going to be dedicated to audio. It's going to be a 2.1 system. Strictly audio in a room conditioned for audio. And, what had happened, Anthony, is I was looking to get this going, and it started with the amp back when I went to Muskegon. I found a really, really hot deal on a really good amp. And then the guy in Kalamazoo had speakers. I went and got the speakers from him, so I would have been done there, but the guy had this turntable and this subwoofer. We're talking really, really nice stuff, real nice stuff, and he made me an offer just I couldn't refuse, so back I went. So that was the speaker guy, and the amp was the week before, actually, but Now I pretty much got everything. It's just a very, very little. I kind of got my eye peeled for a tuner. I am going to put a tuner on the whole thing just for giggles. And that's going to be more cosmetic than, because we got a tuner. The fidelity of a tuner can only be as good as the tuner, as the air is just to go on the air. I just want one for the hell of it. And it's not a big deal if I ever get one, but I'm kind of looking for Marantz 125 just because I like the look and the gyroscopic tuning and all that. I saw one down there in Cincinnati. I've been eyeballing, but not driving down there and asking just a little over my comfort level on it. But I digress. That's enough on all that.
All these expensive hobbies that we have, it's out of control. We were talking about it the other day, but yeah, man, that is cool that you're getting it all put together, and hopefully it all goes together easy, and I'm sure all the wires are expensive, and you've probably collected some of those already, but how far out are you from having it put together, do you think? Let me know after Donald. Over to you, Donald.
Yeah, the only thing I had in the way of a sound system was I had a Harman Kardon component system when I was married in the 80s, and it lasted until after I divorced out, and unfortunately I had a break-in in a storage unit and got removed from my possession. Later found out who had it, and I just let it go. I said, I ain't going to fight you for it. You're that desperate. But anyway, long story short there, but wrap up my subject of racing. If you just want to learn anything about, sports car racing versus NASCAR and IndyCar, just look up some videos on YouTube. Sports car racing in America is known as IMSA, I-M-S-A. My phonetics are not working this morning, so it's I-Ida, M-Mary, S-Sam, A-Adam. And you'll see a lot of stuff in there that, like Sean says, about, production-based cars and how they, they're actually modified for racing, but still, that's about it here. And other than that, though, I gotta get coffee in me as well, so. But I'm going to bow out, and you guys have a great day, and hope you guys get out for lunch for St. Patrick's Day and have this corned beef sandwich. WARCY, we're clear for now.
All right, Donald, catch you later on. I'm just turning to the complex here where the Starbucks is. Not sure what I'm going to do. I don't know if I feel like hot coffee this morning. And what the hell was the question, Anthony? You asked me a question here, and I... why don't you ask me again, because I'm drawing a brain fart.
I think I was just asking if you were in process of getting it all together, what... if you still had more components to get, or just if you had a timeline of completion for your new toys.
Oh, right. Yeah. So this happened much quicker than I expected. I was, I had this planned, and it was going to, the start was going to be, was getting a room ready. I'm going to use a particular room, and I got to get it all cleaned out, and probably just get it, painted, and then I got to get some, I just got to get the room ready, right? Cleaning it out is going to be the hardest part, and then I'll probably paint it up, patch up a few spots or something like that. Nothing's been done with it since my boy was up there some years ago. It's just been an attic, so to speak. Or second floor of a bungalow, so that was what was supposed to start. Then this amp just kind of happened, and then everything else just kind of happened, here we are. So now I got all the stuff in boxes and nowhere to put it. So I hope soon, but I gotta get on the listening room. It's the next step, and that takes effort.
I know how that goes. I just got that FTM 100 out yesterday and started getting it set up and realized there's no programming in it, so now I got to find the cable and figure all that stuff out. So, yeah, there's always fun stuff to be figuring out and doing, and not enough time.
All right, sorry, was at the drive up and had to turn the radio down a little bit, so I apologize.
No problem. I was just saying I got that FTM 100 that I got from you. And I got it out yesterday, started playing with it, and there's no programming in it, so I got to get a programming cable and program it up so that I can have it going in the garage. But just saying how there's so many things to do, so little time.
Oh, yeah, I got you there. Yeah, no question. I a lot of the stuff I have in that second floor, speaking of, that you're going back to that very quickly. It's not about having a time as much as, aches and pains. I got to go up and down them stairs. And then I got to figure out I got my reloading stuff all up there. So I'm going to have to get that all carefully boxed up and tucked away until I get my loading bench. I was doing some 300 black loading up there. It's not ideal, but I don't have a bench set up in the basement, which is where I should have it. So I got to get that stuff boxed all up, all my reloading equipment's up there. And other than that, there's some garbage. My son still has some guitar stuff up there, which didn't stay, but it's just going to be hell going through it all up and down the stairs. And I'm an old man. I get tired fast. I just want to be done with it. That's a good thing about, you just pay people to do stuff when you start to get old and crotchety. So that's what I hope to do. But I'm cheap, so I'm old, crotchety, and cheap, so I don't know what that makes me. Get off my lawn. W8 a few.
Yeah, I know how that goes. I find myself willing to pay for things that I would have never paid for in the past, more and more as I get older.
I know, right? Oil change, pay for it. Never.
Yep, that yard work, things like that I would never have thought I'd be willing to pay for, putting down mulch and all that stuff. But, man, I just have no interest in doing it and would find the time more valuable to do something else with. But, you gotta pick and choose because, like you said, I'm also cheap. And money doesn't grow on trees.
Young lady at the window says, she goes, do you want to use your points today for free drinks? And I'm like, oh, no. I go, when I do that, I'll be getting something really exotic.
Yep. Get all you can. You spend all that money there, you might as well get the most expensive drink they'll let you.
Yeah, apparently there's no limit. And somebody, I forget what I heard. I've heard, I think there was a thread on it on Reddit or something, but, about, what's the craziest, baristas were reporting, what's the craziest you ever seen somebody do on a star, free stars, and, just rumors of people coming in with big jugs and, fill it with espresso shots and something like that, but, I don't think they allow, it has to be in one of their cups, right? And the best you can do is, I suppose the best you could do is get a Vente cup, which, as we know from Paul Rudd, is large. No, actually, it's 20. That's right. But you could probably get them to fill that with just espresso shot after espresso shot. But mine's usually, every now and again, I'll get, a cappuccino. And but I'll have them throw five shots in it. In fact, I did that yesterday. I got my freebie, and I said, you know what? I'm going to get my freebie today. Give me a grande cappuccino with five shots. And she says, you sure you don't want a Vente if you're getting it for free? I go, no, I don't want the milk. I just want the caffeine. I go, so if I, she goes, okay, so grande Grande Cappuccino with five shots. And I said, yeah, five total. And I go, I don't want, you know, seven. I want five total. And she goes, okay. So I pull up to the window. She hands me Grande Cappuccino, and then she hands me a separate cup. She goes, the extra three shots are here. I made them separate like you asked. I'm like, I didn't ask for that, but whatever. She goes, oh, no problem. She pulls the lid off, dumps it in there. Problem solved.
That's pretty funny. At no point did you say anything about three shots on the side, right? But she just assumed.
I keep going, it was, you know, for the next, you know, couple of miles, I was driving down the freeway. It was on my way out to Kalamazoo. And the next couple of miles, I'm thinking, what could I have possibly said where she could have thought? Because she said, like you said, I put them on the side, like you said. And I'm thinking, what could I have possibly said that could have led her to believe that? And I told her, I said, I go, five total. I go, I don't, you know, not five additional, five total. And she goes, oh, okay. And then I says, what else did I say? I said, how many does the Grande come with? She says, two. I said, right. I said, so give me three extra. So maybe there, I go, for a total of five. You know, and just, you know, and so maybe when I said how many does it come with, you know, so really only three extra for a total of five, maybe that's where she got the impression I wanted them on the side or something. I just didn't want her to, because the way she had said it at first was like she was going to give me five extra shots. And I'm like, no.
Well, when you get creative ordering like that, it tends to confuse the staff, I would imagine. So I guess you're lucky that it got that close to what you ordered.
Oh, it was really no big deal. And she just dumped it in there for me and the way I went. But, there's no, you know, crafting that needs to be done. Just dump them in there, baby. I'm in it for the caffeine. The milk is just a caffeine delivery medium. So, anywho, it was good. But, yeah, I get that one free because when you add up all them shots, you know, I don't know what that drink cost. I bet it was $8, $9, something like that. And that's not the craziest people get, but I can't think of anything else I'd get. I don't like the foo-foo drinks, you know, macchiatos and frappuccinos and whatever the heck they sell. I don't like any of that stuff. So, you know, and with the sugar content, I really can't have any of those, so... Basically, I'm kind of scratching my head. Okay, I just loaded up with espresso, man. I do like that. That's why I come here.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a $8 drink if I wanted to there that I'd want to drink. I drink black coffee or one of their teas that they have. I enjoy. So it's one or the other. But yeah, to build a $10 drink, I can't even imagine how I'd do it.
So the other thing you can do is you can use your stars to get like a food item. Like, their food items aren't terribly cheap, you know, so you could do that. But since I do like a cappuccino with a whole bunch of extra shots in it, that's my go-to for using the stars. All right, Anthony, I'm just docking here at the pier. And going to get inside and start my week. A pleasure as always. We'll catch you guys on the drive home or tomorrow morning or you know how it goes. After yours, I will listen out. But after yours, WNFU.
All right, I'm doing the same thing, parking right now. I will catch up with you soon. This is KE8RUH, and we will talk to you this afternoon or tomorrow morning. See you later, Sean.
Good morning, 0800 hours, mostly sunny, 26 degrees.
Thank you. you earlier.
I thought all those, manufacturer, people that work for the auto industry, higher ups like you, you don't start work before noon.
Well, starting work and being at work are two different things.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I didn't know that because, I'm not one of those higher ups.
Yeah, I didn't do pay the kilos at school, so I always made a later start.
Yeah, and they can't catch the school bus. You gotta drive them all the way down here.
Yeah, they're all on a school bus, but it takes about the same amount of time.
Oh, glad mine are grown. Can't get you.
I mean, technically, Lance's is grown too, but not, enough to where they can fend for themselves yet.
Yeah, next year will be interesting when one's in middle school and one's in elementary still, so I think probably dropping the older one off at school and bringing the younger one to a bus stop.
Probably go to the middle school down by me here.
When he gets out of work, he goes and picks up his stepdaughter from the school bus.
There's a double there. Yeah, they'll be going to work.
Outside of Frank and Luther, a little bit further up.
Yeah, it's right on the other side of Birch Run.
Yeah, that's about where I lost it.
Yeah, that's the Holly machine moved to the Mount Morris exit, and then once they exited, they switched to the Bird machine. Take that all the way home.
Makes for a pleasant drive, other than just the regular stereo. You know, plus I got a Motorola back, so I got that program for MI5, and I got my handheld PMR, so got that too. As long as I have cell signal, I am within range of something somewhere.
Yeah, I got a handheld Motorola for MI5, but I'd love to get a mobile, but then I just, think about where am I going to put it. I've already got basically three radios to go in this car, and I don't really have room for one. I got one of them sitting on the front seat, and the other one sitting on the table. I don't really use that one.
I got my mobile DMR sitting on my dashboard with sticky tape, and it's not going anywhere because it's just foamy sticky tape that I use for relays. Then I got my Alinco, that's mounted on the dashboard. Then I got my A25 scanner on top of that. My cell modem on the other side of the dashboard that goes down to my open spot. So, I feel you. I got places for some things, but not all.
Got my ICOM, I mounted it on like a piece of plywood and hanging off the center console, and then I've got a XTVA for my XTS 5000, but it sits on the front seat, and then
good morning.
Got a GMRF that I got nowhere really good to put it. I just kind of put it on the front seat when I use it, but then just sits on the kitchen table.
And when I go in the house, I don't have anything in there. I'll bring my HT in. That way I can talk to at least on Richmond. I'll bring my own my network in there. That's about it. Nothing fancy on the kitchen table except my laptop, one of three.
Well, the kitchen table is just storage, but the base I've got, a handheld for everything. I mean, you got an All-Star node and GMR, or a Pi-Star with just about everything turned on. And I got HD coming out of my ears at home.
Yeah, one of those full-fang HDs. I got a couple of legal HDs, and then I got my CYT digital HD. That's about it. Not a lot of toys.
Two DMR, three P25, one of them on the statement system, and the other two are UHF for the FBI repeaters. And, we got a Fusion and a D-Star, Icon D-Star.
Yeah, I just have to save up some more play funds. Eventually I'll get a little bit more equipment. I mean, I only went out to the house that plays with it, so I just put money aside like I normally do. Can't see, can't see.
Oh yeah, there's always a new toy you can buy. But, you can get the shiny new thing, play for a little while, and then it sits off to the side.
Well, when I moved into this house that I bought 6 years ago, I was supposed to have the front area. There's like a front room when you come in the front door. It's like a, basically like a covered porch area or whatever. And that was supposed to be my little space to, for all my toys. And it'd be storage for holiday things. I do have two laser printers in there, and then I have a tower, for drive storage, and then of course my network's in there.
that's my face that's been hanging up. You know how that goes, being married.
Yeah, well, that was at an office that was nice. Had the old shack in there, and made the floor of the house had a little electronics workbench and everything, but it didn't work out, so, and then had to move, and thought I'd have some money left over, and, you know, plant a nice aluminum tree in the front lawn, but ended up going to some unexpected closing costs and everything, and just never, I don't know, still in the, on the wish list, but not there yet. Anyway, I am pulling into work, so I will say 7-3 to ABLS.
7-3, yeah, I'm getting in the way in the area of popcorn music, so. Talk to you later, have a good day at work. Talk to you in the flip case in KJL.
Good morning, 10:00 hours, sunny, 31 degrees.
At a ZKF mobile listening.
It's all quiet out here.
Hey, you too. Well, it's good to know. It's Monday. It's St. Paddy's Day, so if it's quiet on St. Paddy's Day, it's likely to get lively before it's all over.
Yeah, it's going to be able to be on the full, beyond the celebration phase.
Yeah, me too, sadly. Me too. But it's beautiful, and had an appointment downtown. I'm headed back to my office in Troy. I'm going to run up Woodward and get some lunch, and early lunch, and head back and do my day.
I'm coming to the office in Auburn Hills, and now I'm heading out to West Bloomfield.
West Bloomfield, my other home away from home. Well, good. Well, good. Well, I hope you have exciting things to do today.
How exciting is a Monday's day's worth of work?
Well, it's not too bad. I had an event I had to go to and do some technology for this morning, and I get to sit back in my office and talk to clients all day and try and find some more work. It'll be pretty quiet, but I was downtown at 6, so I think I can probably break out a little bit early today and maybe some of this nice weather will still be around. Name's Dave, by the way.
Good morning, Dave. Name is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike, KCKJO. I don't mind my job. I actually like my job. I like my customer base. I like my kind of, you know, people that I talk to. So my office is my van, my service van, so. I'm all alone, nice and quiet, just music and radios.
I get it, Tom. Well, that's nice. You get out and help people out and get some work out of your van and see the world every day. That's a pretty good deal. So, and radios never, we said you work on radios. Radios never break down at all, so that should be an easy gig.
Oh, no, I'm talking about all my amateur mobiles are all in my work van. You know, I got my DMR up here, I got my analog, EHF, UHF, got some HTs. So, it just it makes the day interesting, put it that way. Yeah, I do, I travel all over. I fix the, ID badging systems, or what we call access control.
forgive me, Tom. I thought your avocation and vocation were maybe one of the same. But, yeah, I mean, I do service work, sort of. I do event work in the field. And more of it now my guys are doing for me, but I still like getting out like I did this morning. We live streamed an event. And, yeah, it's kind of fun getting all the stuff set up. Although we had to get here early. That's the only bummer. You got to be on site at 6 a.m., but I guess it's not so bad. A lot of people do that every day, so I should be happy if I don't really have to do that. And I kept hearing about all this bad weather, but it's gorgeous out here. We really didn't get, this is where I was, didn't get much of the weather over the weekend. I know they certainly got hit elsewhere in the country, but I think for the most part, we got by pretty clean here over this last one.
Well, setting up for events sounds good and fun to me, but the work since then can be difficult, I guess you can say, even in your aspect, you know, difficult, blood, sweat, and tears, but the full outcome is what is the most satisfactory, I guess you can say.
Absolutely, 100%. The work, the stuff we do, takes a long time to set it up. Usually we're moving a lot of heavy things around. And then we set all this stuff up, and then it gets used for maybe an hour. And when it goes right, when it goes perfect, like today's job did, that feels great. It's kind of like losing the World Series when it goes bad. It doesn't happen, but sometimes things just get out of control and they don't work out real well, but for the most part, 99 out of 100 times, things go well. And I totally agree with you, Tom. That's a great feeling.
Yeah, I said, I like what I do. Yeah, sometimes it's simple stuff in and out. Other times, I'll spend an hour, two, maybe a better majority of my day at one site, troubleshooting, finding the causes, and correcting the errors, and stuff like that. But in the end, when it works out, is I see a smile on my customer's face, saying, everything works great, thanks. That makes it all worthwhile. I love troubleshooting.
Yeah, me too. I used to do tech support a long time ago. And the fun day was when you came up with something you hadn't run into before. It usually took more time to solve, but it was fun in that it was new and different versus the, you know, I forgot my password kind of stuff over and over and over again. And so when you get to dig your teeth into something that was really a new, unusual problem that it was the first time on it, that always seemed fun. My biggest problem this morning is I'm driving too fast. I decided to take Woodward out because I want to make a stop in Ferndale. And I can't drive slow enough to stay timed in the lights. And I'm going too fast and I'm getting stopped at every red light.
How funny. So am I. Well, I'm not going fast. I'm doing it's 35, so I'm doing like 38. But I'm just hitting green light after, or red light after red light. So, it's like, got one more, then I think I'll be smooth sailing. Coming up, University in the Pontiac, and then I gotta go through there and get up to Hagerty over to West Bloomfield. Plenty easier than going all the way down to go all the way up.
Yeah, I'm on Woodward, just heading out. I think I'm like about 7 miles. I think I finally got in a groove here. And by the speed limit's 40 here, and 40 just seems so slow. There we go. I'm getting green lights now. So I'm doing a little bit better. It's all good. It's all good. Well, Tom, I'm going to say 73s. I'm not far away from my destination. I'm going to jump out. I'm going to pick something real quick before I go. But thanks for popping in and keeping me company. Have fun out there in West Bloomfield today. I used to live there, grew up there, and still spend a lot of time out there. So hopefully all those people will be nice to you. Although you do need to watch out about your driving around there. Or not watch out about your driving, but I don't know what it is about that community. People do not know how to drive. But I'm sure I'll get in trouble for that with somebody. So, Tom, have a great day. 73s. This is Dave, and ain't sick yet. Take care.
Good morning, 1100 hours, sunny, 32 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, sunny, 34 degrees. Good afternoon, 1300 hours, sunny, 37 degrees.
Foxtrot 8, that's the top of Zulu, clear. Have a good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, 1400 hours. Sunny, 39 degrees.
BP8 casting.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Sunny. 42 degrees.
AAPB.
W8FU.
AAPB.
Hello, Don. You must tell me, how was the Bourbon Trail this time?
It was just terrific. We had a great time. We tasted lots and toured lots and ate lots. Interestingly enough, did not drink lots. You know, when you do something like that, you have to moderate or it's just not going to work. So we moderated quite well. Brought home lots of booty. It was a good time. I'll do it again next year.
Cool. Did you go any new this time? Someplace you hadn't been before? I've heard there's a couple in particular you got to do. You know, we've been through there so many times, but we've never had the time to really take in any of it. And you got to have the time. You can't just pass and by, stop in for a bit. That would be kind of pointless.
Yep. So we've gone. So this is the third. I think this is the third time we've gone, and we try to go to places we've not gone in the past. So we did Maker's Mark this time. That was new to us, and we did a. You know, we got to dip our hand select our bottle based on the tastings, and then dip it in the red. Dip it in the red wax. That's cool. We did a couple of places in downtown Louisville that were kind of off the Bourbon Trail, per se, you know, not really in the city, but they were well done, you know, smaller places, smaller makers, smaller distribution, some new restaurants that we had not been to before. All was good.
Well, that sounds like tons of fun. I apologize for asking you that question. I saw you pop in real quick on Facebook Messenger, and you posted something. So I said, "Oh, you must be puffing a little bit." So I shot you a question, and I apologize. I didn't mean to do that while you're on vacation.
No, oh, no, not at all. It was I turned off some alerts, but other stuff was. I mean, If I wanted to be totally insulated, I'd shut it down for a few days. So not a problem at all. Don't give it a second thought. And I should say that when we are able to get together again next time, we have stuff to share and sample. So we've got plenty of show and tell.
Very cool. So today is the day, the great day. I know you just got back from a bourbon trip on the Bourbon Trail. Drinking was involved, even though you moderated. But you did save a little room for tonight, right? Right?
Well, of course. I may not be able to do anything until very late. I have a client appointment at 6:30 this evening. So that'll be probably 6:30 to 8, and then I gotta submit docs and stuff. So I may be professionally engaged well into the evening. But after that, we'll have just enough time to raise a toast to St. Patrick and driving the snakes out of Ireland or whatever today is all about.
Yuppers, I just stopped at a little restaurant across the road from us, and it's just a little dive, but the guy is a real chef that runs this little dump, and his food is just really not in keeping with the look and the feel of the place, and every he's got a couple of holidays a year, but in particular, he does a big St. Patrick's Day thing with corned beef, and
He has a lamb stew and a bread bowl, which I did for lunch, and then he has the corned beef and cabbage. He has these things he calls Blarney Stones, which are basically corned beef and cheese and some other stuff, and it's all like made into a ball and then fried. And what else did he have? He had some other things as well, but he had Reuben soup and of course Reuben sandwiches. But anyhow, I stopped there on my way home, got some corned beef cabbage because we're not making one this year, and I'm not eating nearly enough at dinner, and Andrea is the same. So. In fact, I didn't pick her up one. I picked her up one, and I forgot leftovers from lunch. So, won't be doing much anything there. But later on tonight, I'll probably have myself a Guinness or two, and probably do some red breast today because, hey.
Yeah, I've got to look and see what I have. I don't even know. I would usually I just pour a Jameson and. You know, raise a toast, but I don't even know what I have. I will have to look. I certainly have got something, but I'm going to have to jump out. I am where I'm supposed to be, and I got to run in here and pretend to have a job this morning. So I will, but I'll check in later for sure. W8FQ, K8BB.
All righty, you do that. I'll catch you later on. K8BB from W8FQ. Wally, are you listening here?
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Sunny. 45 degrees. Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Sunny. 46 degrees.
And 8 KBB.
Yeah, I think it was like 2 weeks ago I went to the proving grounds and it was fine, and last week when I went to the proving grounds, barrels everywhere.
Chelsea location or Milford?
Chelsea. Milford's the other guys.
And then isn't there one in Romeo? That's the other guys.
Yep. Ford's got theirs in Romeo, GM's in Milford, Chrysler's in Chelsea. I think there's some like third-party ones floating around too.
Yeah, next time you're in Chelsea, you gotta stop by the Jiffy Mix factory right there off of 52, I think.
I think you were telling me about that the last time earlier. Last time I was there, but yeah, I didn't even know it was there. Yeah, I don't know. I think I've been looking at with all the construction on 23, it might be faster to take 52 all the way up to 69 and take that home.
Maybe so. What you got to do is take the family out to look it up when you get home. It's called the Michigan Balloon Festival. That's a lot of fun.
Say Balloon Festival?
Yeah, and it's at the Kalamazoo, it's in Kalamazoo or Battle Creek, but it's called the Michigan Balloon Festival. It's an air show and a balloon festival, hot air balloons. And it's a balloon race. So they have one balloon that starts off basically the leader or the fox, and then when he gets so far away then they sound a horn. And then all the other chasers have to fill their balloon, hot air balloon, get up in the air, and go chase after the, it's called Fox and Hound. So they got to go chase after the lead balloon, and they win a prize. But it's really neat to be there. They started putting all those balloons and all the different designs. I liked it. I did it in the early 90s, and it was a lot of fun. I spent all day there.
Yeah, that's interesting. When I got married on our first anniversary, I booked a hot air balloon ride, and never happened. They kept canceling on us. Apparently, if it's too windy, they won't fly because it'll collapse the balloon. So we never got to do it. Never got it rebooked, and cool to do, but I've never done it. I know one of our supplier salesmen, he was in a hot air balloon, and he was going all over the world. He was, he shipped his balloon down to South America somewhere and was flying down there.
Yeah, I was telling my kids about it. I said, go spend the weekend out that way, Leave early in the morning. You can get there early enough that you can find parking and get into it. It's usually packed. And then they have, static displays. It's at the Kellogg Airfield. That's where it's at, Kellogg Airfield. And they got static plane displays. They do an air show, and then later in the afternoon, boom, all the hot air balloons get inflated, and they all take off.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I know I've been to the Selfridge show a few times. The kids, and we went to... My ex-wife's from Appleton, just north of Oshkosh, so we were out there one time, and it just happened to be the EAA weekend, so we went out there and watched the air show there. I'd like to get out to Willow Running for their air show once sometime, but I haven't done it yet.
I haven't done it yet, but I might put some money aside. There is two rides through the Yankee Air Museum. One, you can go up into the, I think it's a B-17. Either the B-17 bomber or the B-24 Liberator. I forgot which plane they have, but they fly. That's $400 a person. but they have a Vietnam-era Huey. It's a military chopper flown by a military, and it's $100 a person for a helicopter ride.
Yeah, I think both of those are probably worth it.
Oh, still worth it. I said I'd like to do it. I was talking to a couple of co-workers. I'm like, we should do that. Just the guys, four of us. $100 a piece, go up there. And my one buddy's like, I don't want to sit in the gunner seat. I said, you can sit in the gunner seat. I am. But I've also been in the cockpit of the helicopter.
Yeah, you want to go sit in the turret?
Yeah, no. No, that's okay. You can keep that. I don't have $400. I did not get an idea up there. But the Air Museum does do helicopter rides. It's around that time in April they start. And it's $100 a person. I think it's for like an hour or two, something like that. So, be something to think about.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it'd be too bad. Airplanes, but,
nephew that is a paramedic in the Air Force, another nephew that is a air mechanic in the Navy. I have a cousin that's a pilot for the Canadian Armed Forces, and his oldest brother works for the Canadian version of the FAA in the tower, air control tower kind of thing.
Yeah, it's tough to just working on the vehicle. Internship at PD doing making vehicles for the military, and after I graduated I worked at General Dynamics working on vehicles. On the Abrams tank and the Stryker family. Job and be staring down the barrel of a 120 millimeter cannon. Strange work on the tank.
Yeah, those Abrams are big toys, and the Stryker, that's a pretty cool vehicle in itself.
Yeah, it's crazy when you lean on a car, it moves, and you lean on a tank, it doesn't, but I think we'll go 70 miles an hour. Sat in one of the Strikers that Harley Ernie sat in for a TV show. Watching the show, and I was like, hey, that's the bracket that I was working on. There was only one vehicle in the world that had it in it. Like, I sat in that exact vehicle.
Good evening, 1800 hours, mostly sunny, 47 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours, partly sunny, 46 degrees.
This is November 8, Mike Juliet, November testing, handheld, and the signal report, please.
Good evening, 2000 hours, clear, 44 degrees.
Hello, Foxtrot 8, Delta, Charlie Zulu.
Good evening, 21 hours, partly cloudy, 41 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours, clear. 41 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours, clear, 39 degrees.
I guess they get points for every obstacle that they manage to maneuver, so, I don't know.
Kind of that you see it on Pluto?
Yeah, it shows you a picture.
Oh, wow, those are tiny.
Tiny vehicles?
Yeah.
Oh, some of them got big blocks in them.
It's all wheelbase, looks like.
It's like a little bass out of hell, though. All the way up until then they flip over, right?
These are front motor? It's kind of hard to tell from that picture.
I think they are. I think they can be either or anything, you know? But I think most of them are front motors. It's funny, they even got sponsors, KFC.
They just signed up for Pluto.
Oh hell, I've never signed up for it. I'm sure I have, but I think every time the TV updates, it makes you redo it.
Yeah, I kind of got that feeling. It seems like I've done this before. So is this streaming live or is it on demand?
I don't know. You didn't find the channel?
You know, there's quite a few of them to go through if it's live.
Oh, hell, I just heard you use the search.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea.
I know. Come up with something simple, right? Yeah, search formula. Off-road. Oh, here I am making comments thinking you're watching it.
Icelandic formula off-road.
It's just formula off-road.
Okay, I got it. That's season one, episode one.
Yeah, I'm on season two, episode four. So, but you'll get the general idea. I don't know why it started me here, but this is where it started me, okay?
It says Icelandic formula off-road. It must be the same thing.
I don't know how to, I don't know how to find it in the channel guide either.
So I'm guessing that this is an Iceland thing, huh?
Well, I think they're doing it all over the place. I thought this one was in Australia, but maybe it's in Iceland. No wonder Trump wants to buy it. I think all the cool sports over there.
He doesn't want Iceland, he wants Greenland.
Oh, well, damn it.
There ain't much in Greenland. Not much at all. Still watching commercials.
I'm watching some drag racing through a mud hole. You know, on a designated track.
Here we go. Oh, wow, lots of people.
Some of those guys got to really know their cars the way they throw them around, you know. They can be on the verge of flipping over and put it in reverse and nail it, you know, think that fast.
All right, Mike, Carrie must be home by now. I'm going to jump off, watch this for a while. I'll be talking to you tomorrow. Hope you guys have a great night. Thanks again for dinner yesterday. Had a great time, like I said. I'll get it next time. N-A-W-O-T.
Yeah, I don't stress about that. Yeah, I didn't hear anything from the other guy today at all, so. All right, take care. Take care of the wifey, and it'll be clear. Yeah, she's around here somewhere. She doesn't sign. I'm going to have to talk with her about that. She probably pulls in the driveway and one of us keys up, heat up, decides, you know, I'm not going to sit out here for this. And it'll be a...